Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Edge Talk Radio Show with your host, Angela Zabel. Are you ready to dive in deep and expand your consciousness? Together, helping you on your journey, answering your questions to understand us, this world, and beyond. Connecting, making our lives better, easier, and more joyful. Come learn with me. Relax. Be curious, and let's have some fun. Join me today. Well, welcome everyone to Edge Talk Radio. I am excited to be here. I am Angela Zabel. I am your host. I am a teacher, coach, and medium. You can find out more about me at angelazabel.com. I also do a lot of guidance and mediumship readings, and I like to have a lot of fun with those on the other side, and they like to have fun with me. But tonight, this is about Claire Marie Cahoot. Let me get this right, Claire Marie Cahoot, hopefully Cahoot. I might have got that wrong. She will correct me. So tonight we are going to be talking with Claire Marie, and she is with CMK Energy. She is out of Lakeland, Minnesota, and we are going to be talking about exploring the vibrational frequency of love, joy, and peace, clearing the past to with love to create the future, and resolving the lineage and karmic debt to create the future of freedom for you. And we are going to dive deep into talking about vibration and frequency. And Claire is also, she is an author of the chapter book, part of the chapter of Ancestors Within, Volume 4, Celebrate and Honor Your Sacred Origin. She's an intuitive psychic, energy healer, spiritual mentor, and inspirational speaker with over a decade of experience, as well as she does a lot of stuff, so I'm going to read down. It's a lot. So it's a healing touch practitioner, Jinsen Jitsu practitioner. She's also trained in EFT, TFT, tapping, healing symbols, sacred geometry. She does remote viewing, which I love doing that also. accessing consciousnesses, mind-body connections, shamanism, meditation, mindfulness, energy frequency, archetypes, and shadow work. And make sure to go on her website. She is Claire Marie at CMK Energy, and her website is cmkenergy.com. So tonight we are going to be talking with Claire, and she's also on Instagram, Facebook, and she has a YouTube channel, so make sure to check her out. So we are also going to, this is also part of Edge Magazine's, this is Edge Talk Radio from Edge Magazine. Make sure to take the time to check out edgemagazine.net. There's a lot of great information on there, especially towards the end of the year here with so much information on moving into the new year. So with that, we are going to be talking to Claire. I'm going to bring her on just to unmute her in a minute because I really want to talk to her about what in the heck made her start working with vibrational frequency of love, joy, and peace. And Claire, thank you so much for being on. So welcome.
Thank you, Angela. It's very nice to be here and to be talking with you tonight.
Awesome.
You had asked, what made me go into this? I was listening very closely. Right? My answer to that would be self-awareness. There's a lot of reasons for that. There's more to this mix. But my own spiritual curiosity, my own spiritual disconnect, and my loss of faith in religious organizations, and needing to figure out who I was, and how to be able to get out of and work with the depression that runs in my family and tends to take a really deep hold on me, and how I was able and am able to do as much as I can to keep me living this life, this beautiful life that I want to live, and how I can keep moving through that space. So those were that was the impetus of me moving into this and really focusing on it, even when I was busy doing other things, pretending that, you know, I was trying to figure out I was going to be an actor, all of these different things that I was trying to do through my life. And my biggest push was wanting to live a spiritual life. I wanted to live a spiritual life. And when I lost my faith in the church, I grew up Episcopalian. When I lost my faith in the church, I didn't know what I was going to do after that. And so I went searching, which is why you see so many things on my list of things that I do, because I needed to find my own connection, since I felt like I lost that leadership with the loss of my belief in the church, which a lot of people won't probably like, but they might. But that's the truth of it. I realized that that religious institution wasn't going to help me or was going to keep me limited, and I needed to find a different way that better suited me.
You know, there's something you said in there, how, and I was reading through some things on your website, some different things, and it said you actually started pulling away from the church when you were quite young, that you really started moving away from that.
Yeah, it was 15, so I was very active in youth choir, very active in attending church, youth group. I had this draw to understanding a spiritual life and what that meant and who God was, and at 15, a bunch of things happened. I got into a deep depression. I all of a sudden my eyes were open that the people giving me information weren't following what they were talking about, and that if they were going to follow some of those things they're talking about, I wasn't included. And that was a hard thing to swallow, when you believe in love, and love, i.e., it, like what we're told that God is love and Jesus is love, and if that's true, why so many people, including women and those that are gay and those that are what have you, different on the outside, on the fringes, aren't included in that love. And that was a really big turnoff for me and made me go, well, I can't be a part of that. And when all of a sudden I'm unmoored and unanchored, I didn't talk about a dark night of the soul. I didn't know what to do, and where to go. And so I started, honestly, believing in me for the first time and taking one step at a time into figuring out the truth of how I see it and what that meant.
You know, you mentioned something in there where you talked about depression, and
mm-hmm.
I'm just curious from your aspect, the more you connected to that on the other side, the more you started connecting into that love energy, that all-encompassing love, and really kind of going on your own journey, did you find the more you worked at connecting, your depression started subsiding, or what happened with that journey?
So there was, now remember, that was 15, I'm now 46. So there's a long road that was there. But yes, as a matter of fact, I looked into doctors to see about helping me. Is this hormonal? Is this, you know, what is this? Is this something? I didn't find out until later that my mom and her side of the family really had some depression and anxiety issues that nobody really talked about. And then when I found out, I'm like, okay, well, this has got to be something in my makeup that pushes me down this path. I had to dig myself out of it first. And I got on some medication when I was in my 20s, which very much helped. but I didn't want to be on a lot of medication, right? I wanted to, how can I be the best me I can be with all of my tools? And medication is one of those tools. I want to make sure that I'm on the lowest dosage that I can be to help me stay focused and help me be able to see those spaces in between, right? Meaning there were super high peaks and super low valleys and super high peaks and super low valleys. And I needed something to help calm that a little bit so that I could see outside of those really low valleys. And medication helps me with that. And I can keep that lowest dose of medication going and then treat with all of the different energy work that I do, my connection to source, my connection to people, my connection to higher frequencies, which we'll be talking about hopefully, that keep me in a space that makes it longer between depression episodes, and that my depression episodes are smaller when they do happen. For instance, they happen once every couple of years and might last a couple of days. After, you know, COVID, in my chapter, I write a little bit about all the work I was doing, and then COVID hit and I did not react well to COVID and quarantine. I thought I was going to be this benevolent, like, oh, this is going to be no problem, I got this, whatever. And yeah, I tanked in that one, which was kind of funny to me anyway. I mean, it's not funny, but it's kind of funny.
I think it's great and, how you're open and honest.
And,
you know,
since then, there's been a couple of episodes where it flares up, right? Because there's a lot of anxiety in the world. There's a lot of pressure in the world. There's a lot of stuff that's happening right now to move things. And my depression is one of those things that energy gets caught up in. And I got my butt into therapy when that happened and was like, I need all of my tools to help me do this. And that includes creating a support network that would help lift me up when I need it, because I love me and I know that other people love me and I'm worth that effort. So that took a long time even to be able to utter those words. And once that started happening, things got a lot easier for me to really shift what the depression means for me. But I know that a lot of people go into energy work because they have chronic pain, they've got stuff that they've got going on. People go into therapy because they needed a therapist when they were younger and they understand what that was and how beneficial it can be. Same with me. It became something that not only interested me, but I knew could help me and not just survive, because I don't want to just survive in this life. I'm meant for more than that, and I want to live this life. So that's my goal.
I love how you said you're using all of your tools you know, I think you and I working with energy, you know, going forward, this energy is going to be so up and down, and knowing that you're going to need to do whatever you need to do that works for you, whatever works for a specific person going forward, and to use all those tools and not think of it as anything bad or wrong of using different tools. It's whatever tool works for you is what you really need to use, and not be, like you said, not to be ashamed of it and just say, you know, this is what I need to do right now, and I know it'll get me right back on track so much quicker than trying to
Absolutely.
Be that lone wolf out there that's trying to do it all on their own, you know?
Right? What I always talk about it, Angela, is, you know, a carpenter doesn't get angry at their hammer because they've got to put this nail in, and they can't do it with their own fists. They use the hammer. Right? It's a better use of the tool. It goes faster. Now we've got nail guns. Why wouldn't you use a nail gun if you had the opportunity to? Right?
Absolutely.
So you use the tools that make the effort and the system that you're working with easier so that you can live, right? You can get more done. You can take more breaks, or you can get paid more for whatever time that you've got. So it's about thinking of it as tools and not as helplessness. And we have been taught in our communities and in our culture that we are not strong enough if we need to look outside ourselves. And that's a myth, and is not a truth. It isn't a truth. We are meant to be in community. We are a community animal. And to think that we've got to do this and tough it out on our own is a ridiculous idea if we want to be able to get out of survival mode.
I love that. Actually, I was just talking. I've got to say, it seems like lately the conversations I've had one day have been a continuation from conversations I've had other days. It's like the conversation never ends, but the people who I'm conversing with are different. And that's exactly what I've been talking about with people, is having that community, knowing you're not doing it on your own. Reach out to people and don't be afraid to reach out, because like, oh, how will that look? Instead of going, you know, what can help me the most right now? And knowing by you reaching out, it's not anything less than it. It's actually a strength, knowing like, hey, I need some extra help and somebody else can give me some clarity or, you know, some extra energy healing. And that's exactly what I need. So I love that part of it. And then I just want to let people know, if anybody has questions for Claire tonight about energy, you can call in live and ask her questions at 714-364-4750. And I wanted to touch on something you had mentioned. You had talked about the energies you're working with. And I myself have had people asking me, well, how do you know what the energies are you're working with? How do you know if they're good or bad? Or how do you know what you're getting from them? So can you kind of go into like the energies you yourself work with and how you maybe move through knowing like, hey, these energies are good for me and for the people around me? What was your process?
Well, a lot of experimentation. And one of the things that I, just like anybody else, you tend to gravitate towards, let's get the information for people who have experimented and know what they're talking about, versus, you know, going to someone who's maybe just starting. We search for those that we don't have to reinvent the wheel, right? We've just talked about the fact that I've done 30 years of research and work and all of these different things, all of these different tools that you can use. And instead of having to do that all on your own, going to someone with those tools and be like, hey, what is this? What I have found and what I write about in my chapter of Ancestors Within is that in energetic work, the hara, which we can talk about if some people don't know what that means, is an essential place that I come back to, because it is the most authentic expression of the individuated self with universal consciousness anchored into the earth. And that's ideally where I have found that when we connect to this deep place, we can be assured that our highest good is being brought in. Because I do know that there are crawlers and hanger-ons and negative energies that tend to want to, you know, suck your life away. I know that there's things that can do a body harm. Trying to stay away and clear those away and clear those energies off of us and keep them at bay as much as possible. And to do that, you focus on a high frequency and you bring in high frequency. think about it, it's like an electric fence. When your frequency is high, those lower frequency negative things that tend to want to grab onto you, they have nothing to grab onto. You're slippery. You're out of reach. You're in a place where they can't take hold. And so the more we live and focus on higher frequencies, the more clear we're going to be and to maintain away from those things that can do us harm. So we can be assured that we're talking to angels and guides and helpers and teachers and ascended masters that are good for us and going to teach us what we need to know in this individuated form on Earth. And that's how I have been able to identify the clearest, because when I was not at a higher frequency, there were a lot of things that I was combating over and over again, trying to get rid of. Why is that? Why am I still having to shed this? What is hanging on to me? What is, you know, what is trying to push in and take over my sense of self when I'm trying to fight for my position? I shouldn't have to fight for my position. This is why I'm here. And so focusing on those higher frequencies has been extremely beneficial, because when we live at those higher frequencies, yes, we dip down to lower frequencies. And what I want to talk about is a really great book that you can read called Power Versus Force by Dr. David Hawkins, that did some kinesiology that works with frequencies. Now, some of it is older, so as we are shifting in our frequencies through the galactic consciousness that we're at, and that's moving through right now, it's not quite the same, but at least gives you a framework. He does what's called a map of consciousness, where he talks about the frequencies in those particular words and emotions like love and compassion and healing and peace, and those higher frequencies, the more we can stay there, the more power we have within ourselves. When we dip down to the things like shame and guilt and fear, they're lower frequencies that create weakness in the body and in the soul that allow us to be controlled, because we are now in a place of being forced into something we don't want necessarily to have happen. And so even though we come down to those things, like, I just lost someone, I'm feeling grief, I'm going to allow myself to, through this grieving process, carrying love and compassion for myself, I'm going to try to get out of that low frequency of grief and shame to get back up to these higher frequencies, so that I'm not as susceptible to those creepy, crawly things that are trying to suck my energy. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And that's one of the things I think a lot of people use your intuition. If it doesn't feel right, go with that gut feeling. And if it feels good, go with that gut feeling. I want to bring one. I think we might have a caller quick.
Oh, yay.
So let me see if they're here. I'm just going to see if they have a question. Let's see. Hello, you're live on the air. Do you have a question for Claire Marie? Hello. if you have a question, please let us know. If you don't have a question, you can continue just listening in. But if you have a question, please let us know. All right. I don't think they're coming on. I'm going to go off that one. I do have someone else calling in. I'm going to check on that one. So,
okay.
Let's see. Hello, you're live on the air. Do you have a question for Claire Marie today?
Hello, this is Kelly Wagner. How are you two doing?
Awesome.
Oh, hello, Kelly. So nice.
You too.
To
I just wanted
you,
to
love.
Call you and said, like, I feel like I just had, like, grabbed a cup of tea and I'm with like-minded people having beautiful conversations, and I just love what you two are doing, and I just wanted to call in and just say thank you.
Aww. Oh, well, thank you so much, Kelly. What a wonderful thought.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Like, oh my gosh, you guys, I love this conversation. I love this honesty. I just love what you guys are creating, and I'm sure the audience does as well. And I just thought I'd give feedback from the other little side.
Awesome.
I love it.
Well, thank you.
Super appreciated.
Absolutely. Continue the fantastic show. I'll talk to you both soon.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks for having
Bye.
This ability to have the show. Bye.
Right?
Thank you very much, Kelly.
Bye, you too.
Bye. So, you know, Kelly just brought up a really good point. Having this an open conversation, I like to look at this as a really safe space for people to call
mm-hmm.
in and ask questions and to be honest about things that are going on in their lives and in the world, because that's really what helps everyone going forward. And that's something for you, Claire Marie, is you actually started writing an author of the chapter in the new book, Ancestors Within Volume 4, Celebrate and Honor Your Sacred Origins and the Role You Played in It. How did that come about,
mm-hmm.
and why did you choose to do that? And what exactly are you going to be talking about in it?
Thank you. So this, I'm gonna be honest at this point. I got connected with Amy Gillespie Dougherty, I believe through Kelly, and she said, I think someone needs to connect with you, and she connected with me, and we had a conversation, and she says, I am doing this fourth book in this series. I think you are a perfect person to lend voice to this. What do you think? And I said, okay, because I, you know, didn't feel confident enough in myself to think that I could be an author, that I could write something of that I knew enough yet about energy therapy and energy work and following your intuition and what it means to actually put some of the quote-unquote weird stuff that happens to those of us who really get connected, and the
is
fact
it
that
weird,
you know,
is it normal?
People are going to read this and be like, you did what? I mean, there's a whole section of when I had this amazing experience that left me breathless, sobbing in my bare feet in the sarong on my front lawn, holding a tree branch, right? Like I was just, I mean, I could just see my neighbors. And what they were like, what is this crazy lady doing, right? Like, I could, and it was an actual event. I explained it to the best I could. But when we talk about those weird, interesting, multidimensional spaces that we have access to, and we stop pretending that they don't exist, and we hear other people say, yeah, I can attest that I had things like that happen too, we don't feel so crazy. And so I wanted to be like, okay, I have something to say in this world, and I'm going to be brave enough to work with Amy in this very short chapter to actually get it out there. And in, you know, I talk about some palm reading that happened when I was a kid. I talked about some past life regression stuff that I had done through the chapter to get to the point where I did finally resolve some karma and through Dhara, which is why I use it so readily, because it's an amazing tool. But in my hand, I've been told that I'm supposed to be a writer. My Akashic Records, I have done several readings, and each one of them have told me, when are you going to write your book? When are you going to be a writer? You need to get your words out. And I kept saying, no, I'm not smart enough. I'm not cool enough. What do I have to say? So when when the opportunity presented itself, I said, Claire Marie, be brave. Do this. You're not going to regret it. Say yes. And so I did. And so I called up Amy and I said, yes, I will. I want to be a part of this. What do I need to do? And let it go from there. And then
how you talk about being, taking this world that you and I kind of live in, and it is our normal, and to put that out on paper, to put that out to the airwaves, to let people know, you know, hey, this is really part of our normal. I guess for me, I'm always, my big thing is I'm not a sugarcoater, and I like to get stuff out to the world. I kind of look at it like when there's abuse, whether it be physical, emotional, alcohol, or any of those type of abuses, most families, when that abuse is in the family, no one talks about it. But once people talk about it, it can be recognized and move forward. And I feel this is a lot of the same way. Once it's talked about, people start talking more and like, this odd thing I had happen to me, this is normal, not just odd. So I think it's so cool that you did that. And that's a big step. That's a big step.
Thank you. I thought so too. Because I want to show up in the world the way I want others to show up in the world, right? If I say that that's something that I want and need, I think for myself, I want to be the person that says yes to that, that says I'll do it, that I will, to the best of my ability, hold that in the world for hopefully somebody else can go, that helped me so much, right? And these experiences, some of them are horrifying, some of them are scary, some of them are so beautiful and so heartwarming that I was telling somebody, I said, you know, people can disbelieve all they want, but if you were to put a gun to my head, I could not tell you that this was my truth. This is so a part of me that it is my truth. And to tell me that it's, you know, believe me is regardless, because it's happening. It happens. And when I get more and more, when I got more and more confirmation through study and research and talking to people and getting it out there and having conversations, I found how to trust myself, how to really own what I was getting and to not be afraid of it. And Echo Bodine, I took some classes from her a long time ago. She's such a beautiful woman. And one of the things that really helped me through the trial and error was understanding that when your intuition, your guidance talks to you, if you get fear involved, it's not your intuition, it's something else. Because your intuition, right? I thought that was brilliant. And I respected that, because even when there were scary and disappointing and hurtful episodes that happen with me that make me cry or hurt, there isn't fear there. There isn't fear there. If you're open to, can I tell you a quick story that was interesting? And I'll tell a happier one after we're done. And what I mean by this. I did a trip, a service trip to Jamaica, and I loved everything about going to Jamaica. Part of what we did is we worked with a couple of different orphanages, and it's called Traveling with a Purpose, little plug for Traveling with a Purpose because they're fantastic. We work with a couple of different orphanages, one for young kids, one for teenage girls. And we are of service to try to help these communities as much as we can, for these people to be able to get some safety and security in their own space
on the island so they can, these young people can live as good a life as we can, right? To be able to usher them up. But one of the things we did was we visited a Rastafari village that was being opened that we got a chance to go talk to. And one of the things that we did before we crossed this river was we were brought through these different places that were plantations and were sugarcane plantations where there were slaves that were used to create sugar from sugarcane. And it was a hard story to listen to, but we did because it was our honor to show reverence and listen to what was actually happening. Went to the Rastafari village and played drums and experienced this beautiful life that some of these Rasta people were showing us how a different way to live. We come back across this plain, and it was just a small little, like maybe an acre of open land that was had some trees and bamboo, tall bamboo, flanking it on the other side, so you could see that it was just this small land. But there was a tree, very old tree, right in the middle of this blank space. And I saw the strange fruit, which means, if you know anything about Billie Holiday and the lynching that happened in our past, there were individuals hanging all over this tree. And I saw it. And I bared witness to it. And my breath caught. I started to cry when I was on the bus. I went within myself. I was like, I can't believe that how can you even, it was amazing. I was beside myself. And it took me a little while to be able to give honor to it and move past it as something to witness. And I talked about it to my wife, but I didn't talk about it to anybody else. When we got home, the woman that I know that is a medium herself and very intuitive, she sat down across from my desk. She came in to see me, and she said, "You saw the tree, didn't you?" And I burst into tears and was like, "Yes, I did. Oh, my God." It was that experience. I know that with my physical eyes, I was not seeing it. I call it the in-between, where I can see things, my clairvoyance, that I can see things that are available, that are there. And there's constant confirmation, whether that's confirmation bias or not, that there's constant confirmation that when I trust my vision, my sentience, my knowing, I constantly get confirmation that I need to trust it. And what does that mean, and how can I hold space for that? And it was a beautiful experience, even though it broke my heart to have to see that. I still got to bear witness to it and understand the brutality of it and be able to release that from my ancestors.
And I think that's something so key for so many people, is to realize when they see some of those things that may feel disturbing at first, to know you're getting a glimpse into what's there, what's happened. You can help release and help it dissipate and just understand and to know you're a part of that. I think that's huge, so huge.
Absolutely.
I do want...
Well, it's one of the things with ancestors within. When we talk about ancestral and generational trauma, we do have the choice to honor what has happened in the past. It does affect us. It does have meaning and purpose, and we do need to witness it help clear it, help adjust that frequency so that none of us get stuck in that same spot doing the same thing over and over again.
That's a very, very good way of looking at it. I do have a caller
oh,
on
great.
The line, and if they have anything they want to say quick, and then if they don't, we'll continue on.
Absolutely.
Hello, you're live on the air. Do you have a question for Claire Marie?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much for taking my question. Claire, it's Faye.
Hi, Faye.
Hello, and I'm glad I was able to tune in. But, you know, Claire, you were talking about frequencies, and it made me think, well, first of all, I want to congratulate you on writing your chapter. It was excellent. You are
Thank you, Faye.
You are brave enough. You know, you can do this. So the other thing, though, going to frequencies, it made me think of positive and negative self-talk.
Absolutely.
How when we use negative self-talk, is that related to lowering our frequencies? And when we use positive self-talk, is that raising our frequencies?
100%. Because of that map of consciousness, when that frequency, when we look at and we feel the frequency of shame, it's when we talk about lower vibration, it's kind of the idea of hurt, right? So if when you look at color, when you look at the color red, it's the hurt frequency. It's the top of the wave to the top of the wave to the top of the wave. It's a slower frequency. And so it's got a longer space between the top of the wave and the top of the wave. When we get to higher frequencies, that wave is short, and it's this constant, really short place from the top of the frequency, top of the wave to the top of the wave. Well, when we use kinesiology to muscle test where those waves are and those frequencies, those lower frequencies of shame, guilt, fear, pain, all of those have that lower frequency, and they make us weak. They make us controllable. They make us less than. They make us constantly doubting ourselves. And when we have a higher frequency, we talk to ourselves like with compassion or with patience, with grace, the way that you would talk to hopefully this child that you are in love with. That's a higher frequency. It's got a faster pulsation. And those, when you have those positive attitudes, those positive frequencies playing, and you can start to believe them. They're no longer just words. There's an energy behind it. That is a frequency that's going to change your life. And that's exactly
and that's
right.
Why
when
yeah, and that's
when
why
people
positive.
Go absolutely, ahead. That's why it works.
Yeah, positive self-talk raises those frequencies, and so
100%.
You know, I think yeah, people don't realize how powerful. And what you're talking about is the physiological changes, you know, that prove
yeah, absolutely
that positive self-talk, you know, puts you in a better frame of mind and everything,
mm-hmm.
where negative self-talk just lowers you. So anyway, I'll hang up, but thank you very much for the clarification and keep up the great work.
Oh, thank you, Faye. Thank you so much for calling, sweetheart.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was a great question. Because it isn't.
Question.
It really was, because it isn't just a, you know, people talk about fake it till you make it. One of the things that we're talking, that people talk about that is that you have a goal of those higher frequencies, so all of a sudden there's energy behind it. But you got to put the energy behind it, right? When you're talking to yourself, don't talk positive words in a negative way, right? Believe what you're telling yourself. I am worth this. I can have patience with myself. I made a mistake. Everything's okay.
I am hurting right now, but I don't need to stay here. I love myself. I will make it through this. I am strong. I am vital, right? All of those things are going to start to shift your energy out of those lower frequencies into something that's actually going to make an impact. And
you know,
and it works through our brains and our physiology because they're run by energy.
And that one thing you just mentioned was, well, it's just one of the things you mentioned was you said fake it till you make it. And it's funny because that quote that a lot of us have used so many times, and I don't, we are talking about different people, and Joe Dispenza had said, instead of fake it till you make it, you should face it till you make it. So you're looking at it head on and you're going, hey, I can do this, face it till you make it.
Yep. Right, because there's energy there, right? If I am talking to myself the way I would saying you're such a loser, but I use you're really great, Claire, right? That's why sarcasm is such a painful thing sometimes, because you're saying something with different energy behind it, and that's perfect. I think Joe Dispenza is brilliant, by the way, and face it to me, because there's a different energy around that facing it. I am strong enough. I can do this. And when we keep telling ourselves something that's a very negative, we're consistently in those lower frequencies that are going to attune with fear, grief, loss, anger, all of those things that, as we know, tend to create disharmony in the world and can cause a lot of grief and a lot of damage. And so the more we can, people are like, fuck it with your positivity. I say, okay, I will, because it's the best thing you can do in this world is have a positive attitude and shift how you think of things so that you can get out of a stuck space of being angry and crabby and grumpy all the time.
I think that's so true. And then, you know, one of the things I like to look at, like when he says, face it till you make it, that's saying I have all the tools available. And I think for all of us to realize we have the tools, it's just us discovering the tools we already have. So you have everything
Absolutely.
You need. You're not walking out there going, oh, I have nothing here. I don't know how to do this. It's like, it's there. You just have to rediscover it and discover everything you're so good at. And so many people, I think, don't realize the power they hold within themselves. And that's something with you I see, and I just feel from you, you're really helping people empower themselves and realizing what they already have within them and bringing that out. I think that's so key for people going forward.
Absolutely.
And
as healers, what we can do is facilitate. But each individual needs to do the work.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
They have everything they need. They might not know how to direct that energy, but that's what you ask questions for, right? That's why we are so brilliant that we can ask the questions that need to be asked.
And the cool thing is we actually have someone that might have another question.
Oh, yay!
Hello, you're live on the air. Do you have a question for Claire Marie?
Well, Claire, this is Faye again, but you just, I had to call with this because you just talked about people saying, well, screw your positivity, right?
Yeah.
But here's a saying that I found that I love, and it says, being positive doesn't mean ignoring the negative. Being positive means overcoming the negative, and there's a big difference between the two. So that's by Mark and Angel. They have a website and stuff. But being positive doesn't mean ignoring the negative. Being positive means overcoming the negative. So I'll just leave you with that.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
And that's brilliant because that's exactly right. It isn't a pretend thing. And it's not saying I don't hurt, I'm not in pain, I don't have something that I need to deal with. It's that I'm going to deal with it
through love, compassion, and grace. These higher frequencies that have a positive effect that empower us to make those changes. And what happens is the more we ignore those things that create trouble, the deeper that hole gets. When we ignore generational trauma, when we ignore ancestral trauma, when we ignore things that hurt us and pretend they didn't happen, they don't exist, don't take responsibility for them, that can be just as devastating as getting hit with a bat. And when we look at them, deal with them, we love them and honor them as something that we can work through and that we are worth working through, we tend to reach those higher frequencies a lot easier.
I think that's something so key, that we are worth the effort of figuring out who we are. Who are we as humans living this multidimensional experience? Figuring out who we are. And that's something I want to touch on. I know we're getting lower on time. I want you to kind of talk about, I just kind of went through your website and all the different sessions and different things you offer. So can you just kind of talk about the things you offer and maybe how a session looks like for people? And when I was looking on your website, it also said you do sessions, you can do them in person where you are. You also do them over the phone and online. And I think that is so key for people because, honestly, one thing I've got to say with COVID I think has been so amazing is that it's made people want to connect online, and I think that is so helpful for everyone in the whole world. So go ahead and let us know
what you've got there, Claire Marie. Right. So I built my practice with trying to help people self-actualize and live their best life, right? That's the key to what I want to help with in this world. And I want to work with people that are determined to do that, to have some enlightenment, have quality, have a visceral life that they are showing up for. And I use these tools to help find what works for each individual person. So I offer readings as a clairvoyance, clairaudience, and clairsentient. I do readings when people are in that space of I'm at a crossroads, I don't know what to do, or I don't think I know what to do. 9 times out of 10, my readings end up being a confirmation of what they need or already know. Those readings can be very useful for people that feel really stuck. And it gives another perspective of how to see a situation that can help give you another level of frequency to come at something where what you have been doing maybe isn't helping get out of that stuck position. And then I do energy therapy. And my energy therapy sessions are usually about an hour and a half. We have an intake, a session on the table, and then a little bit of a wrap up where we talk about, you know, how the person feels, what I saw, what they felt, what I saw, what interventions I did, and then usually give homework because, again, I can only do so much. The individual needs to have some skin in the game. And then I have a bunch of different opportunities inside of that. I use healing touch and Jin Shin Jitsu, all those things, shamanic work. I do whatever I can do to get at the places that we need to get at and then use all of those tools to find something that resonates with the individual that can then help them shift some of that stuckness. And a plethora of tools, because sometimes this one thing isn't going to cut it. I need something else. I need another perspective to be able to get at this and pry it up and pull it off and move it. And in that is tapping and meditation and how do we get still? How do we get quiet so that we can hear our inner voice of what is our intuition is telling us and what that divine expression is holding with us and for us, and how do we connect to it to be able to attach to and move into that creative essence. I firmly believe that we are God, right? We are that, we are an individuated expression of that universal consciousness. And we are that expression. We're just that in a multitude. And
I've got to say, Claire Marie, I love that aspect, because that's something, when you start looking at yourself as this divine being, you can only love yourself after that. And I love
absolutely.
That where you said we are God. And some people, it kind of freaks people out a little bit when you talk that way. But I think it's like, hey, let's bring it on, because we are all connected to all of it. That's how we can do all the connections. That's how you get everything.
Right.
You have to be a God energy in order to do that. So
absolutely.
Then you
well, that's one of the things
that
lost my faith in the church, is that I don't need someone else to connect this to me. I don't need... we pay money to a religious institution so that we can have a sacred space for us to commune, to hold space, to be with people, to honestly take all this money out of devotional spaces, thinking that you're going to buy yourself out of a situation, and you have to pay for someone else to absolve you of those things. That didn't sit right with me. There's a difference there for me in, I don't need someone else to connect me to that space.
Right.
I can.
And that's the thing, I think, is we're, you know, like you and I are kind of trying to be that facilitator to help them make their own connection. And I think that's so key for everyone. And
it's different than you have to work through me. You don't. You work through you. And what I'm going to do is try to help you get there. And
absolutely.
And right. And there's a difference there for me. And I don't think that love frequency, that love, that divine love, is only for a few. I don't believe that in any shape or form. I believe it's for everybody. And
absolutely.
You just have to connect to it to find it. And I think that, you know, Jesus' message was that. And I
yeah.
think that it's been, again, I'm going to probably get myself in so much trouble here, abstracted
well,
as much. So that the true meaning of what was said was again corrupted to a place that doesn't hold with my love frequency.
Absolutely. And I just want to say, we're running really short on time. I want to let people know, I want to thank you so much, Claire Marie, for being on here. And I think what you've talked about has been amazing for so many people. And we're running really short, so I'm going to let everybody know, please check out Claire Marie's website at claire.marie.cmkenergy.com. And also letting everybody know, tune in next week, because we will have David Eastburn on about the first Tuesday. It'll be using hypnosis to reach your goals in 2022. And David is coming from Denver, Colorado. He's a clinician and an author, and he will be informing all of us and helping all of us understand how hypnosis can help us in 2023. So, Claire, I just want to thank you once again, and I can't wait to see what you do going forward. And I know you're going to be writing a few more books in there, so that's going to be exciting.
And thank you very much, Angela. It was such a pleasure. Happy holidays, sweetheart.
Awesome. And you too. And everybody, make sure to have an absolutely happy holiday, the Merry Christmas, Kwanzaa, whatever holiday you do. Enjoy it and have a happy new year. And with that, everybody, have an absolutely amazing day. And thank you for listening.
Well, we set a record this year. We watched that holiday movie, you know, the one, 17 times. But I didn't mind because it gave me plenty of time to book a nonstop trip to Florida for the family out at Green Bay Austin Straubel International Airport. With low fares, I was able to book the whole family to Orlando. And then I booked a romantic relaxing trip to Fort Myers just for the grown-ups. Save time. Fly local. Book today at flygrb.com.
My home down payment would be $74,000. But with my VA home loan, my down payment is zero. My service was then. My benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov. Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.